December 21st, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC. Email Dr. Maraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the text of Imam Waqiduddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talk, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com. Dr. Maraj, and you will be able to listen to the one that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Salatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayah 13 to 18, one blast resurrection. Dead resurrection with one blast. With a symbolic of the one blast that will stand the dead up. So we have many rakahs or many seconds of prayers, but there is a prayer that we say in the month of Ramadan, and it is finished with one rakah, only one section. We say two sections and we sit down. We stand up for a third section and we pray one rak'ah and we finish it. Scripture says that the dead will be resurrected and they will be awakened with three blasts. But God says there is going to come a time when only the one blast that will stand the dead up. And that is what I'm giving you now. The one blast that will stand the dead up. The Quran, Surah 79, Ayah 13 to 18, one blast resurrection. Dead resurrected with one blast, with a symbolic of the one blast that will stand the dead up. We have many rak'ahs in prayer. We have many sections of prayers, but there is a prayer that we say in the month of Ramadan, and it's finished with one rak'ah. Only the one section finishes it. We say two sections, then we sit down. We stand up for a third section. And we pray one rak'ah, and we finish it. Scripture says that the dead will be resurrected, and they will be awakened with three blasts. But God says there is going to come a time when the only one blast will stand the dead up. And that is what I'm giving you now, the one blast that will stand the dead up. All you have to do is keep your interest focused. Stay clear. Keep that in mind. And never forget, any time or any day you're living, never forget your first interest is supposed to be your maker who created you and everything. Wake up with it and go to bed with it, and I guarantee you that you will not need any more rak'ah to keep you standing. I'm not telling you to change the prayers. God obligates us with revelation. Our holy book is our guidance. But I'm telling you that will wake us up. The Quran, Surah 69, Ayah 17, 8 bears throne. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 75, and Surah 40, Ayah 70. Hold up throne means the equal rules of God. They support it without question, without allowing their own thoughts to come into the picture. Wings are used to lift up every time we make sense of it. The believers make ascension two wings symbolic of the two rakhas Bhajya, three wings symbolic of the rakhas Magrib, four wings symbolic of the four rakhas Sura, Asa, and Isha. The Quran Surah 69, Ayah 17, the eight holds up two hands, knees, toes, forehead, nose equals eight. So when you make four rakas, you make eight sajdas, meaning we want the throne of ours to be successful. When you make surah, asa, isha, you make four rakas with eight sajdas. What is the throne? It means the rule. Man wants to preserve the rule that he has over the family, town, and nation. If you want to preserve the rule, then break the day up for times of prayer. If you want to hold the throne, interrupt that business. Look how successful the Muslims were under the Prophet. They became the greatest society on earth and other societies back to civilization. Talk of God and man. Asa Laylatul Qadr. Okada. The Quran Surah 70, Ayat 4, one day with God is like 50,000 years. The Quran Surah 22, Ayat 48, one day with God is as 1,000 years. The Quran Surah 79, Ayat 42, when is the hour time? Time Salat, when is the hour time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wait until he come with his clock. And what is the clock? It is a timepiece. There are two realities referring to here in the same, in the Quran. One reality is the reality that all of us know. We know timepiece in the world of man. That which, the which I am wearing now, the watch I'm wearing now, pardon me, the alarm clock I carry with me sometimes on my trips, or the clock on my wall at home. All of these timepieces are the clocks or the timepieces of man. But God says, wait till he comes with his timepiece, with his siyah. I know he knows what siyah means, because I went to class and we had to learn CN in the same class. God doesn't use a foreign term that he has to explain to us. If this means a watch, clock, something that keeps time. He uses the most common language for timepiece in the Arabic language is CN. And that is the one he uses. Wait until God comes with his siyah. So this is in the scripture that came before, not just in our scripture, that lets you know right now what's aiming at, what we are aiming at, the direction now, show us the world as affected by man, and to show us the world as planned by God. For the moment, the movement of natural forces is the clock of God, and the man-made orchestrated forces is the clock of man. Both have a movement. Both have an object, a destiny, an end, an aim, and both are movement, and there is no time without movement. Time has referred to movement. Even for the thing that is dead, when you speak of time, for it, you are talking about movement, how it has been affected by years, how it has deteriorated, or how it has been affected during a period of time, how erosion has affected it, and measure its age. A tree, how many rings are formed, you can measure its age. Isn't it wonderful how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a tree so that if you cut it, you can see its age right there as though he wrote it in a letter? in Numbers, just count the rain. Every spring, a new rain started. So focus on nature, or bringing in the world God wants. These are the two timepieces, and what is more important is not to know about the two timepieces. The important thing to know is that God is not depending upon the world and its leaders to bring in the world that he wants for people. Natural forces are created to usher in the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for all people. Isn't it a wonder of God? The loving, generous, merciful God to give man an invitation to work for him, be his servant, to bring in his world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already created the forces of nature that are going to bring in his world. But he wants to share that great celebration. Trees, rocks, stones, dogs, cats, and lions, and elephants. They don't have the consciousness to come to the party. So God wants his human creation to come to the party and join him in the great celebration of the victories to come. Isn't it wonderful? He created man and jinn to share in the celebration. If they would only join the essence, then they'd be welcome to the party. Only his workers are welcome. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because those who not his workers, they are turned off, and they are turned only on to temporary things, expedient enjoyment, that then goes out and sees no more things. So this is a great day we are living in. God's crop and the world's crop, God's timepiece and the world's timepiece. Please indicate that the world timepiece is explained by man based upon his recognition of his works, but not the works of God. The clock, the timepiece of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon or explained upon our recognition of the order of the natural universe, how God has made this universe to bear or to operate upon his will and his plan for mankind. We really need to write volumes on science or scientific theory. This also includes our perception of the life and the nature of the universe itself. Some of you are getting this, but it is too much for a lot of you. It is easy if you don't strain the mind too much. I saw a guy, he couldn't get his car started. He was just pressing on the accelerator. He flooded the thing out. Another man came and took the top off the carburetor. There's some air getting there. And he went and started it up. And he's ready to go. Don't strain too much hard. You will damage the equipment you're using. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the two realities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, man's time with God is one day as compared to God, like 1,000 years of man's time. One day in God's time is like 1,000 years in man's time. Man is looking at a one-day clock that is 24 hours. And on God's clock, a whole 1,000 years is in that one day. So reasoning in that body of language, we would say then that is 1,000 years. Man has to take rest because it is in his 24 hours. He takes the rest every night. So in 1,000 years, man is going to activate part of that time, and he is going to be resisting part of that time. So the Quran descended in the night, and the time is duration coming down to man is as 50,000 years. not 1,000 years, 50,000 years. Now, I can't keep you with me, so I'm not going to try to take you down that road. I'm just going to tell you what is at the end of that road, the exact sciences. The Quran's purpose is to bring man to the exact sciences. 50,000 years revert to America's 50 states. So the purpose of the revelation of the Quran was to bring within man's reach or put in his hand that which he would need to arrive at the exact sciences, and that is exactly what happened. It is no accident, or it is not without purpose, that these United States began from 16 colonies, and then the United States came into being, and those colonies came under a different political order, and they grew to be 58 states and stayed that way for a long time. And they found it necessary so that their own growth as a nation communicated and best to those of vision and eyes to see, it changed from 48 to 50 states. And aren't we a scientific nation now? We have many references to the two movements, the movement of man in his own thinking or in his own pride, and the movement of the natural world forces. And then there is a third movement, the movement of God's plan, the word of God, revelation. God knows that the natural forces were created to bring us to him. Eventually, we are going to come to him. You don't have to worry about that. That is why when we die, they say, Inna ilahi wa inna ilahi raja'un. Once again, Inna ilahi wa inna ilahi raja'un. Translated, surely to Allah we belong to him, and to him we are returning. You're finished. If you have gone astray, you are not going to stray anymore. You are dead now, and you are not going anywhere on your own. You have joined the natural system that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has created to obey his will. Isn't this wonderful? This is so wonderful to be seen consciously. And the new reality, I wouldn't give anything for this. This is the life. 50,000, five senses. So the Quran, Surah 70, Ayah 4, a day as 50,000 years. So Laylatul Qadr is not talking about what has manifested. It is talking about what can manifest. So it pronounced Laylatul Qadr, not Qadr. So it is the capacity, potential. The capacity is seen in the Quran. The capacity is seen in Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him. The capacity is seen in established Ummah. So the potential for that capacity is coming down in the month of Ramadan. It's just starting, but it is going to manifest Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him. He had to receive it to be born. It is going to manifest Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon him. And it's going to manifest the established Ummah, and it is coming down as 50,000 years. Days as 50,000 years is community enlightenment based upon the five senses. The Islamic community enlightenment based upon the five senses of man is going to have to reach Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, as though it takes 50,000 years. It is much longer than that. It should say 50,000 light years. The new language now in this world, it should say 50,000 light years. It is coming from the essence of creation, the essence of the universe. Before even the universe had come to its capacity, it was nothing but potential. it is coming from that distance to reach Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, and his five senses. His brain is just not capable of carrying this. He is going to have to entrust it on his heart. And in time, it will communicate from soul to his brain, and they will get it as a slow rain, 1,000 years. Therein descend the angels and the Holy Spirit. The angels are not on their own. The Holy Spirit is not on its own, with the permission of their Lord from every order of command. Not one command up here and command down there. Peace, salam, because this is Kesherun min Afesira. Kesherun min Afesira, translated, it is better than 1,000 years. How can there be but peace when the operators of love and peace is in the world working, and in the whole working, pardon me. It is the center of the whole working, love and peace. So that is the night of power. And I was not with them, and it think they are going to have it again tonight or last night. It was the 27th. Now that you can have it the 29th and on any odd night, the 27th was last night. I'm pretty sure 27th was last night, not the 29th. It was the 29th, the next day would be Eid. A lot of time, light bulb ideas. The Quran Surah 70, Ayat 4, Allah's day is at 50,000 years. The Quran Surah 87, Ayat 9, think it's beneficial. 2 Peter 3:8, day with God is at 1,000 years. So light years with God is time it takes to materialize an idea. The expression light years was introduced by the scientists of the stars, the bodies in the sky. They knew the scripture when God says 1,000 years, or your time it may be like 1 year with God. So when they talk about distance in miles, after whole these perceptions of time measurement become so burdensome. When you're talking about distance of planets and galaxies from one another, to make it easy, they say light years. But where did they get that language from, light years? The light is also wisdom and knowledge. So to understand the outside of this science, borrowed it from the religious language and factored most of what they have from religious language. Expressing light years, us understand how to see a year with God in comparison with years with man. Man based his time measurement on movement of physical things, objects, right? The sun is a physical object, and it starts in the morning. Dawn goes and sets, and that is a certain amount of time. And when it comes back and shows again, it is one day, 24 hours roughly. So this is how man's measured time, and we survived one winter, and now we are ready for spring and good times. Possible temperatures are going to end, and we will start winter all over again, right? So that is a year, right? But look what has happened. These are physical pictures of change in the human life, right? But what about the idea? How long will it take it to materialize, to bring about the changes which that idea has the potency to do? This is a light year with God. Rainbow bends, but you see light going straight. It is a perfect picture for explaining how ideas work. One idea lights up the area for you to see other ideas. It depends upon how clear the idea is. if it is too obscure, it is not going to give you much light. It is not going to show you too many things, but the more transparent it is, the better. But in this instance, you are not talking about light. People think light is white. No, a heated up piece of substance will turn white. Certain substances won't even burn white. But light is not white. If it was white, you could not see. Pure light is transparent. And another thing that is good to observe about light, they say, and I think Einstein is responsible for this, the whole universe bends, and even light bends, because matter, the whole universe bends. Everything bends. But when you see clouds separate, and permit small openings after darkness or and a heavy rain, you see color bending. That is the rainbow. But you see light going straight. Light does not bend. It goes straight. Have you ever seen the beams coming down through the clouds? They come perfectly straight. They are not bent. They don't move. The Quran, Surah 71, Ayah 13, what's the matter with them? They not respond to God. So the Lord is inside me as well as the will of God. I have the Spirit of God in me, but also God's will is in everything he created. So God's will is in me too. And God's will is what eventually overcomes my will, so that my Lord in me, the will of God in me, and there is also my own desire in me to be better. There is my desire to in me to achieve more in goodness and righteousness and justice. That movement is in me. It's also the movement that brought me back to my Lord. So my Lord is evolving me, isn't he? My Lord is evolving me, and he is in me as his will, so you are not asked to believe in a God that's not really part of your reality. So that's why the question is asked, what's wrong with you? That you don't want to believe in your Lord. We're not asking you to believe in something that's not a part of your own reality. You are asked to believe in something that is a part of your own reality, your own life forces, and supported by this Lord, your own life forces guided by the Lord. Your excellence is the will of the Lord, and your excellence is the works of the Lord. So how come you don't believe in the Lord when he's working right inside of you? God in us, the will of God is in us. The Lord, our God, Lord God, is in us, in his will and plan. For us, the Lord, the function of God as Lord function in the human being, and in everything that he has created and evolved, then us, more so in us, more so, because that reality can dawn in our intellect. It has already done. It has dawned in the intellect of the great prophets and us now. It has dawned in the intellect, this reality, this real perception of God also in my workings and the workings of my own creation. There is workings of God, and I can see him in the role of Lord in my perception of my own evolution, of my own progress as a human being trying to be better all the time. And Surah 71, Ayah 17, man created like a plant. So God says he has created the human being like a plant. Let's look at a plant. So this is knowledge. Some of you take lightly the term in this society, knowledge, organic, it has one meaning for you and another meaning that you don't get. One meaning, you know it is from plant life, natural life, but organic means for them what I'm going to explain from that which is in the Quran. They got it from the Quran, and they have it in their society. If you get a big dictionary, you will find the meaning. Organic, this particular interest for the term organic. It is not the ordinary dictionary. First, see, God says he created us like a plant. It begins with a seed, doesn't it? And the seed is something that seems dead, isn't it? So the seed appears to be dead. So you don't take a fresh seed and plant it. It dries out, becomes like dead. Then you plant it, right? So you plant the seed in the right environment, the element of the earth, moisture, and the right environment causes the seed to swell. It's the moisture that causes it to swell. And it swells, and it is said from the environment that it is put in, and it first forms a shoot, and it comes up, but at the same time, it anchors, or roots start going down. So the thing is anchoring itself in the earth and shooting it out at the same time, so it is not shooting up without being anchored. It's not building up with no base or no security, like a lot of you who go in these businesses overnight. It's gone, not roots, no anchor, no security. Third, root stem. So the plant comes up from the root and then the stem and then branch, and if it is a flower plant, it will bud and have a flower. And then at the stage when it flowers, it is able to reproduce itself. Is that right? How beautiful that is now. Look at the human being. And let's quickly compare this symbol. The human being is ordered to grow and should have human spirituality. If you are dry of human spirituality, you have no human sentiments. You are like a seed that's not getting moisture, and you stay dead. But if the human sentiment is allowed to form and touch that seed, the seed is like the human heart, you see. Water is soft like human nature. If we allow our heart, to get hold to the spiritual teaching, sentiment, teaching that inspires, encourages the human goodness in the human being, purity, moral cleanliness, will grow because of the water softness. Water is soft. Water is not hard. If you just touch it, it quivers. To bring it out, to bring out the true human essence of the person, you need spirituality, then the person can grow. Thorn hoards all of the water. Next comes the knowledge for man of how to establish himself in his environment. But if you don't establish first some moral identity, some human content, then what you will build will be a thorn. And a thorn doesn't even share its life structure. It's not nice to touch. You have to be careful around it. You can get stuck and picked by it, and it is so selfish, it hoards up all the water. It goes where there is nothing and eats up everything from around it, right? So you don't find these trees growing where there is not a lot of abundance of water. They go where there is hardly no water. And that's where you find the thorn bush growing. There is hardly no water. So its nature is to hoard the water. It takes it in and hoards it. It has thorns that take it from the air. It draws all the moisture out of the dry air, and roots trying to get it from below. Now, and if you come to try and get the water, it has hoarded it in trees, and it has thorns, and it has those thorns ready to stick you. But if the human being properly comes into this structure kind of life, having the roots firm in earth, the stem is anchored there, it's strongly anchored in the ground, and then the branches, can come on because there is strength now below. This anchor structure can support branches. The branches grow on it, and lastly, the flower. Third part, branches. The branches come on, and they provide resting places and shade for other creatures. It is doing a service, isn't it? Providing shade for others and resting for creatures that fly in the air. It won't fall off, and it rests on the limb. Fourth flower, lastly, the flower comes. The fourth part, one root, two trunk, three branches, fourth flower. Beauty, even ugly flowers allow reproduction. Water softness, human nature. So the flower comes and then reproduction possible. From the softness of the human nature, life is made possible from a dead seed. And then the dead seed gets growth and becomes, and because it gives itself and beauty, it is able to reproduce itself. Even the ugliest flowers is beautiful. Is that right? The ugliest flowers you've ever seen is beautiful. I haven't seen an ugly flower, to tell you the truth. Look at the human being now. Look at yourself. Standing, you can imagine yourself forearms like branches, right? Your feet are grounded down there. Your arms are like branches, and look at your head. Doesn't it show the kind of evolved or complicated design that you see in a flower in your body? So you see the simple designs. You see the plant in its structure, in your force. In your face, pardon me, you see the complex design that you see in the flower, right? So where will your reproduction come from? Right up here, baby. The mind, if you don't get germinated seed ideas up there, is no reproduction. This is beautiful. The structure is beautiful. It needs to hold up to seasons. But the season has to mature because it is through the season that you will be reproduced. So you have to learn the knowledge. The intellect must learn what has developed here. It has to study what has developed here. It has studied the nature of the growth, and it is learning of how human beings grow, how the development, then you can be reproduced. That doesn't come without God's help. So Quran Surah 73, Ayah 1-3, stand and pray. So Quran Surah 74, Ayah 1-3, O ye, and mental arise, warn. The Quran Surah 6, Ayah 69-70, duty to remind. The Quran Surah 62, Ayah 9-10, when the call is made, leave off business. If we are really Muslims, we have to be an active and not a passive community. We are not a call of sheep, dreamers, or spacewalkers. The Muslim is called by God to be an active community. As a Muslim, you have to register concerns of those around you. You must be concerned with whether they are being mistreated or suffering the burden of their own ignorance. If they need to be enlightened, you are obligated to enlighten them. You must also ask yourself questions such as, are they without business sense? For what reason? Do they have nothing but a life of dependency? If they are your Muslim brothers and sisters, and you are business-wise, it is your obligation to enlighten them. You must also be concerned if those around you are giving themselves to wild and injurious kinds of influences in the Western culture. If you are aware of those damaging, injurious influences, and you see them giving themselves to those influences, then you are obligated to help them rise to the challenge. So the Muslim is obligated to stand up and meet the challenge from those things that will work to take us out of the excellent form and excellent future God intends for his creature. Muslims are protesters. When we give our declaration of faith, Kalima, or we could affirm and just say, God is one God. But no, we first say La in Arabic, which means no. That is in itself a protest. We not only say that God is one God, but we say no God but God. That carries a message of one that who is protesting. So many of us are afraid to get in the moral army to fight for moral excellence in our immediate surroundings. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better education. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better living conditions in our neighborhood. Many of us are afraid to get in the army of protests by the consumer against those who ignore this humanity, treat man as though he is a wild animal, selling him inferior merchandise at high prices. When God is our greatest love, and when our desire is to be pleasing before him more so than it is before our associates, that is when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. Many of us fail to get in the army of law-abiding citizens when we see moral violators all around us, such as thieves and shoplifters and vandals. Many of us live with these things without a burden on our conscience. If you can tolerate those things, you are not the Muslim community that God wants. A Muslim community must rise to the challenge and meet the challenge. God has obligated us to go against and resist all that is bad. We are to insist upon what is good, what is excellent. We are to prohibit what is wrong, bad and degrading. We cannot claim to be Muslims if we are not willing to wear that principle and bear that responsibility. For God says, if you fail, I will rise up another people and they will not hear the accusations, the criticism of those who criticize. Pardon me. Many of us cannot accept being unpopular. We say, to ourselves, oh, God knows my heart. But if I go all the way with this religion, I am going to be unpopular with many associates. Well, if that is the way you feel and think, then you are not the one to carry out that great responsibility God has placed upon the Muslims of advancing right and resisting wrong. Those who can carry out that responsibility must first be strong enough not to be dispirited, hurt, checked, or made weak by the fear of being unpopular. We cannot be strong if we worry about being unpopular when God is our greatest love and when our desire is to be pleasing before him more so than it is before our associates. That is when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. It is a requirement for the Muslim to obey the will of God and to please him of what he has asked of us. That is the real Muslim. That is what it means when we say a Muslim is one yielding the will, yielding the spirit to God. It means that you live most of all to satisfy what God has required of you. You live to meet God's demands and not the expectations of the people if their expectations are against what God has asked of you. Many of us have fallen short in living the life of a Muslim as a follower of Prophet Muhammad. Many have fallen short because they just don't know. Therefore, it is an obligation on those who know to bring the message clearly to the people. That obligation was on our Prophet, and he informed us that the same obligation or burden is on those who follow him. God says to us in the Quran, O you who believe, bow down and prostrate yourself and adorn your Lord and do good that you may prosper and strive in his cause as you ought to strive with sincerity and discipline. He has chosen you and has imposed no difficulty on you in religion. It was the faith of your father Abraham. It is he who names you Muslim, both before and in this revelation, that the messenger may be a witness for you and you be a witness for mankind. From the above verse, we see that the prophet will be a witness for us before God. And we are to witness, and we are witness before God with the people. If we carry out the responsibility, then we are before God. We will be a witness and say, God, those people had no excuse for what they did and for the path they took. We live true to our religion amongst them. God didn't say that the prophet and his followers are witnesses to Muslims only. He said that we are witnesses to the people, meaning all people, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. It is also an obligation on the Muslims to warn their near relatives. The Holy Quran says, and warn your nearest kinsmen. Then if they disobey you, say, I am free of the responsibility for what you do. Conversion to Islam was by good conduct. Many nations became Muslims not because anyone preached to them, but because they observed the life of the good Muslim in their nation and decided that they wanted to be a Muslim. That happened in much of Africa. The Africans saw the life of the Muslim and they were attracted to that life. Certainly, there was preachers, but most of the conversion came by the excellent example of Islamic life the Muslims lived. Out of necessity, the Muslims traded and visited with Africans, and many of them came to introduce the religion. But the religion grew in Africa because of the good example that Muslims showed to all people by living the excellence of Islamic life. And this is the way we want to be. We want to live the Islamic life so that it may be an influence on others who observe how we live. Indonesia, a country that has the biggest Muslim population, was converted in the same way. Indonesia has over 100 million Muslims. Nobody came in there and conquered them with weapons. Nobody preached them into the religion with missionary movement to convert them. Indonesia became Muslim because it dealt with Muslim traders and Muslim business people. They were converted by the lifestyle of the good Muslim. These are the facts that everyone should know, especially the Muslim. For centuries, there has been an ugly war of false propaganda against the religion of Al-Islam, and we want to correct this incorrect view by our example and lifestyle. It is not good for an imam to come out on Friday, Juma, and Sunday with his khutbah, lecture, and then go back and the people not see him anymore until the next Friday. This is especially so if he is not working on a job or if he does not have a business to run. Prophet Muhammad didn't regard those who only devoted themselves to ritualistic and spiritual devotion with the same regard as those who were devoted spiritually, as well as working to help build a foundation of the community. Prophet Muhammad was a man who did both. Allah tells Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in the Quran, rise up and warn. And in another place, he says, stand to pray by night, but not all night, half of it or a little less. Truly, the rising by night is most potent for governing the soul and most suitable for framing the word. True, that is, by day, prolonged occupation with ordinary duties. So we learn from this verse that God is telling the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, not to spend so much time in prayer at night, that he would be too tired to carry out his duties to the community during the day. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had no off days. He was busy every day. There are some Muslims who take Sunday as a day of rest. Sunday is no rest day. Sunday is a work day. Muslims have to rest. Muslims have no rest day, not even Friday. God tells us that when we hear the call to prayer on Friday, leave off business and respond to the call to prayer. And when the prayer is over, go our many different ways back to productive work. Adhan essentially knocks on the conscience. The Muslim community should be a dynamic community rising up to every challenge. Our call to prayer, the Adhan, essentially means that which knocks on the conscience. It is designed or formed to get our awareness, to get our attention. We give the call 5 times daily to make the Muslim aware of their concerns, and our most important concern is to be with worshipers of God, to respond to him as he ordered us. The Quran, Surah 73, Ayat 1 to 6, stand and pray in the night, best frame words. One, O thy folding and garment, to stand to pray by night, but not all night. Three, half of it or a little less. Four, or a little more. And recite the Quran in slow measure, rhythmic tone. Five, soon will we send down to thee a weighty message. Six, truly the rising by night is most potent for governing the soul and most suitable for framing the words of praise and prayer, of prayers and praise. Seven, true there is for thee by day prolonged occupations with ordinary duties. For Allah has brought back the truth through Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. And that truth is this, that it is night that feeds man's human nature, gives him that peace, that quietness necessary for him to see reality of his life better. There are some animals that can see in the dark. Some can see in the light. Some can see in both light and darkness. The human being can see in both the night and in the day. He can see in the day with his physical eyes. But we see best in night. We see best in the night with our mind. When it's dark, we can listen to the voice of the heart, conscience, and hear it better. We can find a hidden answer that daylight won't uncover. But in the night, we can find a hidden answer. In fact, we can find the hidden answers that daylight won't uncover. But in the night, we can find the hidden answers. In fact, even the day, sometimes when we are thinking deep, we close our eyes. We like to turn the light off because it is better. It helps us to think a little better. God has said it. You will find the night conducive, very good for framing the right words. And isn't that the struggle of intelligence? Come up with an idea, but to frame it in the right words so that message can be passed on to others so they understand it. Many times we get an idea, but we can't pass it on to others because it is not in the right words. We can't make it plain. Music, range, thinking, ability. So Quran Surah 73, Ayah 4, Quran recites slow rhythmic tones. Now, on your job, working conditions, situations, they found that workers that need the best maximum benefit from the environment to do their work, they are thinking on what is conducive to their requirement. They found that by making the place pleasant, in appearance and everything, the environment surrounding to the senses, the eyes, by having music, low, not high, left, high, very melodious music, they found that it raises the intelligence and the thinking ability of their workers. So this was recently reported, although they've been doing similar studies. So if you know this, why do we come? They give the masses all this fast stuff to shadow their brain. They don't love you. They care nothing for you. So we have to care something about ourselves. And if we go on and follow that step after knowing better, we deserve whatever comes to us. We deserve what they are giving us. Quran Surah recital brings out the intuitive light. Just one other thing I want to say to bring you to what we really should be looking at, and that's the Quran that advanced everything, that advanced over that, that's supposed to be some new science they discovered. And in the Quran, 1,400 years old, you are to read it in slow rhythmically, so you can get the intelligence and the meaning from it. You speed up, you won't get it. And at the same while you're having time to think about it and digest it, the slow musical recital of the Quran is bringing out the intuitive light, bringing it to the surface. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 5-6, weighty word sent down. What did Allah promise to Muhammad while he was revealing to him? He said, I'm going to teach you. God told him that. Some will say yes, he was teaching him when he was giving him the Quran. Yes, but that's not all of it. No. He told Prophet Muhammad that he was going to send upon him a weighty word. And Allah says to Muhammad that he found him drooping. Drooping meaning strained, underweight. A lot of weight on him. Didn't he? When he received that first sign of revelation, go to his wife, burdened and strained. And she told him of an uncle who was a Christian and had knowledge of scripture. He had no knowledge of Scripture. He was unlettered. So he had no knowledge of Scripture. She told him of that uncle. The uncle talked to her, and she talked to him. And didn't his burden begin to be a little lighter? So though he had already begun receiving revelation, it burdened him. Why? Because it is heavy and hard to understand for a man that's not educated. But God says he will educate him. And God educated him. You have a living proof in me. The Quran, Surah 71, Ayat 1 to 3, O you and Mantle, arise, warn. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 39, work in your place. The Holy Quran guides us to common sense. It is a common sense message, although it contains very complex ideas in the very beginning of the revelation to Prophet Muhammad, President of Peace be upon him. He was told by God, O ye who are wrapped in your mental clock, stand up and warn the people. God is going to give you a weighty word. Although the Quran appeals directs us to common sense, it's still all of that is needed to satisfy the intellectual. But what am I trying to do in this article is to try and make what Muslims should be doing here in the United States very simple and clear. God makes it very clear and simple in the Quran as to what Muslims should be doing when he says, work in your place, I am a worker. God is telling us in the above verse that he is not an idol God or a God at rest. Accordingly, Muslims don't believe in a statistic universe, a static universe or a God that is resting. I'm not trying to address any deficiencies in anyone's religion. I just want to bring that message to you in hopes that Muslims and others will appreciate what is being said to them by God, that he does not rest and that he never took a rest. The Holy Quran gives us an excellent description that is simple and clear of how God relates to his creation. It says, God, there is no God but he, the living, the self-subsisting, eternal. No slumber conceives him, no sleep. He are all things in the heavens and on earth. Who is there can intercede his presence except as he permits. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. We thank New Africa. Imam Dr. Miraj speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.